Okay, let's turn again to the book of James, chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Let's hear the word of God. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Now, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing once again as we open up your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scripture to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive it. And I thank you for it. Amen. James has devoted a good portion of this letter to the purpose of correcting the language that we use toward other people. We've often noted that what we say is a direct revelation of what our heart contains. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a happy little rhyme that we teach our little kids. That's complete garbage. Words can hurt you. They can hurt you emotionally. Words can be used to hurt your reputation. But words can also hurt you in a positive way. Words can be used in ways to lead you to correction. You know, when I was growing up, still working on it, I became aware that I had a little bit of a wit, and I mean just a little. But I was pretty impressed with it. That we got into conversations with folks. I always thought, you know, I needed to get my 2 cents in there. And one day, a man that I admire very much and have my whole life said to me, you know, you got to just shut up. You don't always have to have something to say. And I know that man worked a lot on trying to raise me right. And there were actually a couple of things that stuck. That was one of them. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Do not slander one another. I'm curious. Are you right? Doesn't matter about what. Calvin says that it's a disease innate in human nature. That everyone would have all others to live according to his own will or fancy. We believe we're right. Why else would we believe it? I mean, nobody walks around saying, "Well, I'm wrong about that one." I'm doing it anyway. Red light says stop. I think it means go faster. I'm right. You know what? If we can come to grips with the idea, with the reality, that not everyone is going to see things our way, you've taken a great step towards maturity. Naturally, there are things that can't waver. When it comes to issues of essential doctrine, we have to believe what Scripture teaches. There's no leeway. We have to be right on those things. But trouble arises when others disagree with us, and because they disagree with us, we feel the need to bring them down to size. Or even destroy them. What poison is harbored in a soul that is not purified by God's word or submitted to His Spirit? Do you like spiders? Spiders, they're these neat little creatures that God created for some reason. Yes. I wonder, though, have you ever been out and about and come across a spider's web that still held the remains of a previous meal? You walk up and you look at the spider's web, you're going to see what may appear to be a whole fly. But the life of that fly is gone. Now, thankfully, at this moment, we're not sitting down to a fine dinner. Because, you see, spiders have no stomach. They have no internal means of digesting their food. So those lovely little creatures, what do they do? They go to their prey, and they inject into their prey their digestive juices. Sounds pretty exciting, right? So what happens to that little fly who has been administered to by a spider? What happens is they begin to digest inside themselves. They begin to turn into a nice warm soup that spider will then suck out and leave the shell pretty much intact. Isn't that disgusting? Just remember that God created that little creature to behave that way. That's how it functions. Well, slanderous men possess a similar talent. Using words injected into the hearts of others, they, the other people, will start to break down inside. He said, brothers, do not speak evil of another. Do not slander another. There is a slanderer. There is an accuser. Revelation 12:10 tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Our enemy, the evil one, takes great delight in bringing down God's children, whatever means he needs to use. And when he can, he'll get into the mouths of other people and just inject the evil. It's not always the possibility. Sometimes, though, the things that are spoken by these people are things that are absolutely true. But they're not spoken for the purpose of edification. They're spoken in the same means as the spreading of gossip. It doesn't matter if what's being said is true. What matters is the motivation behind the speaker. Their whole purpose is to bring that individual down. When someone else's mouth is not available, though, the accuser may try and slander us from within ourselves. He might just speak directly into our minds. We'll say, you know, I know that I've sinned. But I also know this. I know that I have confessed that sin to God. And according to His word, 1 John 1:9, I have been forgiven. I have gone to God. I have been contrite in my approach. I have been humble. I have been sincere in that confession. And the word is plain. When I confess, He forgives. But I know what happens to every single one of us from time to time. I know that sometimes we still feel accused. We still feel slandered. And we may ask ourselves sometimes, why am I still feeling guilty? 1st thing you got to remind yourself is that feelings aren't necessarily true. Feelings are fickle. A young boy may have feelings for a young girl that are not true. They're momentary and fleeting. We need to, in those situations, remember, first of all, who it is that's making the accusation. If we're starting to relive previous sins that we know we've been forgiven of, we better be mindful of who it is that's reminding us of those things. You'll sit around and you say, you know what? 20 years ago, I did something. I know I asked God's forgiveness for that. Why 20 years later is that starting to appear on the video screen of my mind? The accuser of the brethren wants to bring you down. He wants to tear you down. And so he'll play that tape for you. Be mindful that the thing that attacks us is not flesh and blood. And then be mindful of this. God's word is true. If God's word says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, we have no place to argue with that. It's true. Clearly, as children of God, we are recipients of slander from the evil one. But what James is telling us here is, don't you be an instigator of that. Don't you be the one who's about the business of spreading evil talk against your brothers and sisters. What's more, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Slandering involves the law. Leviticus 19:16 says, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, and you shall not take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. God Himself is making it perfectly clear. Slander seeks the life of its victim. James says that when we speak evil of our brother or sister, we're speaking evil of the law. When we judge him, we judge it. Now, some people are going to say, well, we shouldn't be judging anyway. Even the atheist knows Matthew 7:1. Judge not, lest ye be judged. The problem is, they don't know that scripture in context. Who was Jesus talking to when he made that pronouncement? If we go into the context, if we follow it along, he's talking to some guys who are trying to solve little problems of other people, not understanding that they had great big problems of themselves, for themselves. He said, why are you trying to take a splinter out of somebody's eye when you got a big old honking log in your own? He didn't use the adjective honking. Just seemed to fit. Why are you trying to do that? Don't condemn somebody else till you get yourself fixed. But if you follow along in that same passage, he makes it very clear that as Christians, in fact, we are to be judging some things. But we only do it against the standard of God's word. We only judge against that standard. We don't judge according to our own good thinking, our own opinions. Jesus said in the 16th verse of Matthew 7, by their fruit you will know them. Well, how are you going to know if you can't judge? How are you going to know if a brother or sister is living a godly life if you don't know the standard to judge that by? You know, it depends on where you go. You know, there are places where the idea of legalism has slipped into the culture of the church. If I went back to the church that I first went to, that great little Baptist church out there on Youngstown Road, and if I told those folks that I like rock and roll, I would be excommunicated the way that they do it. They just shun you. You can't like rock and roll. Rock and roll is of the devil. Well, then, so is classical. So is jazz. I believe country music. Well, not necessarily. God gave music. Men mess things up on some things. But God gave music. And he gave us a smorgasbord to choose from. See, if you think less of me because I like rock and roll, I still love you. And I hope you get over it. The thing that we are not to be engaging in is judgmentalism. It's not that we're not to judge. We're not to be judgmental. We are not to be exercising a critical spirit. That's purpose, and its only purpose, is to pull someone else down. We become critical of people because we say, well, you're not doing it the way I like. Well, it goes back to the thing that, that Calvin quoted, you know, earlier. Yeah, we want everybody to be like us. But the body of Christ is not that way. In this text that we're looking at this morning, what's being taught is that to judge the law makes us above the law. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Tongue twisters. You got to sit down and take the time and take a bite at a time to work through, to see what they're saying to us. If we're judging the law, we're placing ourselves above the law, and we put the law aside, in effect, in order to make our own judgment of another person. What? That's like the height of arrogance, man. Do you understand that I'm a sinner? Now that I told you I like rock and roll, you'll say, yeah, we can agree with that. But do you know what else? You're a sinner too. And when it comes to just our own thinking, what great deal of arrogance is it to say, we can be judgmental on you? And we're not any better. We're just different. If we judge the law, we're no longer keepers of the law, but judges of it, as though the law is inefficient. It can't do anything. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? We are reminded very quickly that there is only one lawgiver. He says, you might, for the moment, put yourself above the law, but in reality, you're not there. There is only one lawgiver. And if we seek to judge his law, we are not only exalting ourselves above the law, we're exalting ourselves above the lawgiver. We're saying we're better than God. And just in case we forget who he is, it is he who has the power to save and to destroy. Men don't have that power. Only God has that power. We ought to fear God. And at the same time, we ought to be very thankful that when the time comes for our judgment, that we are not going to be judged by sinful men. Slandering our brothers and sisters is one of the worst sins that a Christian can commit. We exalt ourselves above the law and above God himself. Since we're all sinners, we certainly have no place and no position and no power to condemn someone else. We need to be mindful of our need for the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes take it for granted, the work that Christ has done for us. Sometimes I think Christian people might get a little immune because they may hear the gospel a lot. Other places you go, churches, you may not hear the gospel at all. You know, if we look back on that little spider at creation of God's, you know, the female spiders are kind of lonely. They use you and eliminate you. But a mother spider, during a time of famine, who has a brood of little spiders, has the ability to take that digestive fluid that she injects into her prey and release it in her own body. And so she'll do that and just sit still and die and become food for her children. The Lord Jesus told us at one time, he says, you know what? This is my body. This is my blood. This is the food for you. He has done that for us to keep us going. Jesus Christ is our judge, but he's also our defender. Now you got to think about this for a little bit because it's so cool. Jesus Christ is our judge, but he's also our defense attorney. He argues for us. He says, I have rescued this one. I have redeemed this one. The sins that he has committed are no more. They're blotted out. They're washed away. So when the judge looks at the accused, he can only see the redemption of Christ. When the slanderer comes to us, we call on Christ. We call on him for the strength to endure the test and to be delivered from it. We ask for his grace to keep us from falling prey to the temptation of being judgmental. And to make it possible to live lives that heal instead of bite. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. Let's pray.